Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, February 21st. Barnard, Bebout, Burns, Case, Christensen, Coe, Cooper, Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Flatern, President Anderson, Johnson here, Rothfuss,
excused.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Gilbert.
God of all the generations, should you appear to us in a dream, as you did to Solomon of old, and ask of us, what should I give you? May we answer with words similar to Solomon's own. Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. We who are called upon to discern between right and wrong, and also to discern between what is even more difficult, to discern between what is better and what is the best. We ask from you, O God, for an understanding mind. And even beyond desiring an understanding mind, may each and every one of us know we are called to be your servant. Equip us with heart and mind to know and to do your will this day. And all who were able in unison said, Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the meeting clerk please read the general committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 20th, 2012, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Being none, that report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Joseph McGinley, and I don't believe the doctor is on the floor at this moment. Dr. McGinley is from Casper. Our nurse for the day is Cynthia Labonde. She comes to us from the Board of Nursing. On this day in Wyoming history, in 1825, the legislature passed a 2.5 cent gas tax. Thought for the day, we can't all be heroes because someone has to sit on the curb and clap as they go by. Also, in this moment in history, quite some time ago, there was a famous state senator born. I believe this senator is Senator Landon. Is this your birthday? Come on now, mess it up.
I said it is. I'm just glad to make it over.
Well, I'm glad we don't have any record. It's been so long ago, so it's going to have to be on your admission only. So happy birthday, Senator Landon.
Thank you.
Introduction, reading, and reference of bill. Senate File 1, first reading of the bill. Reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 1. General Government Appropriations. An act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2012.
Pursuant to Joint Rule 14(1)(2), Senate File Number 1 is referred directly to the Committee of the Whole. Before we go further into our agenda, Senator Case, would you like to give us just a bit of a reference as to where we're at with the redistricting bill? I know some people are in.
Thank you, Mr. President. I sure would. Mr. President, we will be taking up the redistricting bill on Thursday in committee. The plan of the committee is to finish the remaining Senate bills that we have, and we have two, 101 and 100. We'll take those up, I believe, at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning in the committee room. And then upon our noon recess, Mr. President, and that's the day of salad by committee, but we'll start at 12:30. We've reserved 302, and we'll begin to hear the redistricting bill. We will continue with the redistricting bill until we come back in. We'll be working the budget, of course, as in the session. And then we have reserved 302 so that we can go back to 302 upon final adjournment of the Senate on Thursday. So the goal of the committee is to have the redistricting bill reported out of committee on Thursday afternoon, starting at 12:30 and working around the Senate schedule. Now, I want everybody to remember that amendments to the redistricting bill are a little bit different kind of animal. They involve, bringing in all these voting districts and this description. So if you are considering an amendment, and I want all amendments to be considered, and I'm not trying to keep you from doing them, but please contact staff. Mr. Obrecht on our staff has been doing most of those amendments, and he will be available to help in the Senate side. But if you can't find him, his seat's over in the House side. Go find him and get those amendments worked up in advance. That's your best bet. Mr. President, when the bill is finished from committee, it'll be available for taking up by the Senate. We have the budget until Monday and all the way through Monday, and I've talked to the majority floor leader and others, and I believe that we will be taking up the redistricting bill in the Senate on Tuesday in Committee of the Whole. Now, that also, Mr. President, is going to be a little bit different animal. We'll have some audiovisual equipment, and we'll have additional staff on the floor to help presenting the bill and presenting any amendments. Once again, it's the same thing on amendments. If you have I would prefer that if you've got an amendment coming, we're going to see it in committee, then we could see it again on the floor if you're unsuccessful. But it doesn't matter. You have the right, of course, to prepare any amendment you want. But it does take time for staff to prepare those amendments. So if you're planning them, get to staff, and we'll be able to see them and take them up on committee of the whole. Looking forward to it. I don't think we're going to need any extra days or anything, so I think it'll fit with our normal schedule. The only difference will be a little bit extra equipment and a little bit more time on the amendments, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Field any questions at this time. If you have a further question, you can talk to the good senator. Thank you. We're going to move right on now. House bills on first reading. House Bill 10, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 10, sponsored by Representative Moniz, Game and Fish Additional Elk Licenses, an act relating to game and fish. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 10 has been assigned to Committee Number 6, PRW. House Bill 11, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 11, sponsored by Representative Brown, Business Entities Revisions, and Act Relating to Business Entities. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 11 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 12, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 12, sponsored by Representative Brown, Marketable Title Act, Conservation Easements, an act relating to real property. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 51, no 7, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill number 12 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 13, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 13, sponsored by Representative Brown, Wind Estate Disclosure, an act relating to property. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 58, no 0, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 13 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 36, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 36, sponsored by Representative Wallace, Paramutual Permits, an act relating to paramutual events. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 50, noes 8, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 36 has been assigned to Committee number 6, Travel. House Bill number 52, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 52, sponsored by Representative Stubson, Private Road Actions, Appraisal Cost, and Acts Relating to the Establishment of Private Roads. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill 52 has been assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 9, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 9, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Unemployment Insurance Compliance, an act relating to unemployment insurance. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill number 9 has been assigned to Committee number 10, Labor Health. House Bill number 8, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 8, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Department of Workforce Service Consolidation, an act relating to the administration of government. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill number 8 has been assigned to Committee 10, Labor. House Bill 14, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 14, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Wrongful Death Representative, an act relating to civil procedure. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 14 has been assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 38, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 38, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, Coal Valuation Industry Factors, an act relating to taxation of coal. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 52, no 6, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill 38 is assigned to Committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill 26, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 26, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Contractor Residency Provisions, an act relating to public works and contracts. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2.
House Bill 26, assigned to Committee number 9, Minerals. House Bill 25, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 25, sponsored by Representative Stubson, Private Transfer Fee Obligation, an act relating to real property. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 55, noes 2, excused 2, absent 1.
House Bill number 25 has been assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill number 4, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 4, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Ignition Interlock Program Fees, an act relating to the Department of Transportation funding. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill Number 4 has been assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 2, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 2, sponsored by Representative Peasley, Service of Process Fees, an act relating to service of process fees. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 1, absent 1.
House Bill 2 has been assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 32.
House Bill 32, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Redistricting of the Legislature, an act relating to the state legislative districts. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 49, noes 9, excused 2.
House Bill 32 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Reports from standing committees.
February the 21st, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 43, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, Escobel. No, Senator Burns, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 21st, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 16, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 21st, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 36, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, Escobel, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 20th, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 68, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 20th, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 105, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladeren, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 20th, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 75, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass, amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senator Burns, go ahead, please.
Mr. President, Senate File 36, State Parks Acquisition of LX Bar Ranch, and Senate File 43, State Parks Acquisition of Lands, both have appropriations, and I ask that you re-refer them to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Request being that Senate File 36 and Senate File 43 be re-referred from Committee Number 6 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
President.
Senator Johnson.
May I have privilege of the floor, Mr. President?
You may.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I'd like to ask the other four senators from Laramie County to stand up so they can join me in this introduction. I'd like to introduce to the Wyoming Senate Dr. Joe Schaefer. Dr. Schaefer is the new president of Laramie County Community College. That's why I asked other senators to stand up. Previous to coming to Cheyenne, he was the president of Montana State University in Great Falls. And in case you don't know, that's one of the other Minuteman missile bases. And so he was already acquainted with Warren when he came here. With him is somebody that I know a lot of you remember from the Department of Transportation before LCCC stole her, is Lisa Murphy. Please welcome President Schaefer to the Senate and to Wyoming.
Well, welcome, Dr. Schaefer, and community colleges are an integral part of Wyoming's efforts to have one of the best education systems in the United States, so welcome. Senate File 25, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 25, Public Records.
Couple of amendments.
Yeah.
First amendment is the Meyer Amendment, and I'd ask Amendment Number 1 be read in at this time.
Senate File 25, second reading, Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 4.
Senator Meyer, would you like to move the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, Mr. President, I move second reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 25 and ask to further reading amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, what this amendment does is go into the penalty section of this bill. Currently, if you violate this act, it's a crime. It's a misdemeanor. And I wanted to basically not make a bunch of criminals out of what mostly are good public servants trying to do their jobs. This does retain the civil portion, Mr. President, of the $750, strikes out the criminal misdemeanor portion, allows for the penalty to be recovered in a civil action initiated by the Attorney General or appropriate county attorney. And I ask for your favorable consideration. Stand for any questions.
Questions, discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, the question before us is regarding Amendment Number 1. Second reading, Amendment Number 1, Senate File 25. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. The second amendment is the Scott Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 25, second reading, Amendment Number 2, page 1, line 10.
Senator Scott, would you like to move the amendment?
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it goes into the list of things that can't be released and adds two items. First is where an agency has within its records an income tax return or information derived by the agency from an income tax return. You can't release that, except in a deaggregated form where they can't tell whose it is. And the exception is important because particularly if you had a program that was had a means test in it and you were verifying it this way, you wouldn't want the individual tax returns out, but you might well need the summary information. The second, same thing as regard to contested case hearings and workers' comp, keep the individual records confidential. You've got to be able to release them when you have a actual public hearing on them, or, again, the exception for them being the aggregated form. Now, Mr. President, both of these have some other protections elsewhere in the statutes. They may or may not be adequate. I think it's well worth listing these protections separately in this Public Records Act, so you can't have a fishing expedition that's basically designed to publish individuals' private information. It's a protection for the privacy of our citizens. So I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Thank you. Questions? Comments in regard to the amendment? Seeing none. Second reading amendment number 2, Senate file 25. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 3, Senate file 25, the Perkins amendment, I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate file 25, second reading amendment number 3, page 4, line 13.
Senator Perkins, would you like to move the amendment?
Thank you. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate file 25 and would request that we dismiss with further reading thereof and ask for the body's favorable consideration. What we're doing in this amendment is something that I think we should have caught during our interim work, but we didn't. If you go to page 4, line 13, we're deleting the last sentence. If a public record is readily available, it shall be released immediately to the applicant, so long as the release does not impair or impede the agency's ability to discharge its duties. The reason why I think that's inappropriate there, it's very appropriate when you find the same language on page 5, at line 6 and 7, and the difference between those are if you go to the very beginning of those two paragraphs. In B, the public record, in B, where we're going to delete this language, it is when the public records requested are not in the custody or control of a person to whom the application is made. If they're not in the control or custody, then I don't know how they can be readily released. I think that we've just missed that. And where in C, they are in the custody and control of that person, and so it's wholly appropriate that if they can be released immediately, that they would do so. That's what the main part of it does. The line 6 of the amendment goes, and this was pointed out to be by someone who just looked at it and made this one comment. And line 9, what we're doing is at the end of line 9, we're adding that this does not impair or impede the agency's ability to discharge its other duties. The reason why I recommended that change was it is part of that custodian's duties to produce these records to a public request. And so adding the intent is there simply to show that these records and disclosing them are a part of the custodian's duties. It's just that it's not supposed to interfere with their other duties to the extent that it impedes or impairs the office. So with that, I would request your favorable consideration on those two amendments.
Questions, comments? Question being called in regard to second reading amendment number 4 to Senate file 25. I'm sorry, I'll repeat that. Second reading amendment number 3, the Perkins amendment to Senate file 25. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Amendment 3 has passed. Now we are on to second reading amendment number 4, Senate file 25, the Dockstader amendment, and I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate file 25, second reading amendment number 4. Delete the first Burns Committee of the whole amendment.
Senator, would you like to move the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 4 to Senate file 25 and request that we dispense with further reading.
Questions? Comments? Second reading amendment number 4, the Dockstader amendment. All those in favor, please say aye. I'm sorry. Senator Burns, would you like to speak to this amendment, please?
Yes, Mr. President. I thought there was going to be more of an explanation of the amendment.
Two of us. Go ahead,
Senator. Is this his first time or his second time?
I'm afraid that it is. Not afraid for him that it's the second time. Go ahead.
Mr. President, if I could speak to the amendment.
Yeah, I think so.
So the sponsor will have the opportunity to speak.
Yeah, I think that would be better. Senator Dockstader, we'll come back to you in all fairness. Now, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, the reason there are two amendments here. One is to remove my first amendment and the other the second. And the second is more of a policy decision, so I can understand that. I don't quite understand the reason for removal, wanting to remove the First Amendment. It was not meant to be controversial. What the First Amendment basically said was on page 2, line 11, it said any information, and it said it had to be in a physical form. Now, if we remove that amendment, that could theoretically open up to public record anything ever said to any elected official. I think that's scary because we know what memories are, and the reason I brought these amendments in the first place was the under the idea that members of the public, when they speak to their elected officials, it is not necessarily with any expectation that everything they say is part of the public record. And the other part of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, actually was the one that was suggested by staff, and it had to do with this language of which is not privileged or confidential by law. And all we did was move that from the bottom of the page where it related to a meeting and up to where it related to actually to the public business. And that was actually more of a housekeeping amendment. So I'm still trying to figure out an explanation of why the sponsor would want to remove these amendments. I don't see them as controversial.
Before the sponsor raises, this is a critical issue. Are there any other questions or issues in regard to the Senate File 25, Second Reading Amendment Number 4? The floor is yours, Senator Dockstader.
The issue does come with the Second Amendment, but I felt it was offered more clarification to offer the amendments to remove both of those. The concern is, yes, with the Second Amendment, and I will be addressing that when we come to that.
Okay.
But it still asks for your favorable approval to remove the amendment.
Thank you. Regarding Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to Senate File 25, the Dockstader Amendment, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We're on now to the next amendment, and that being Second Reading Amendment Number 5. And that is, again, the Dockstader Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 25, Second Reading Amendment Number 5. Delete the Second Burns Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Go ahead, Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Second Reading Amendment Number 5 to Senate File 25 and request that we dispense with further reading. Members of the Senate, Mr. President, Senate File 25 represents a year's worth of work with several parties involved, not just our committee, but the parties involved being, of course, those who provide local access to government, the media, and our local governments. These groups come from diverse backgrounds. They've crafted and they have accepted some language that works for all parties involved. That came out of committee. It represented an immense amount of work. This can be in itself considered an achievement, considering the diverse background of all parties involved. They found compromise, and they brought it to the Senate with that compromise and with that full committee approval there. What does Senate File 25 do? Senate File 25 fosters good government for Wyoming. It encourages participation in government. It provides a better understanding of how our government officials reach the decisions they do. And finally, it keeps government open and accessible to the public. Members of the Senate, I ask for your favorable approval of this amendment.
Questions or commentary in regard to this amendment? Senator Burns?
On against the amendment, Mr. President, that is actually my opinion, that to be against the amendment. As the sponsor of this amendment and I both agree, this is a policy decision on part of this body. I would be surprised if the majority of you hadn't heard from your local newspaper editor in the last day about this bill and about this amendment. And apparently, according to the press, it is front page news and it is the most important topic facing the state at the moment, regardless of the budget redistricting or anything else. I also think that, frankly, the news articles have been a distortion, saying that we're trying to restrict the amount of information that the public's getting. We are not, and I am not, trying to do that. What we're trying to do is strike a reasonable balance about the privacy of our constituents versus
the rights of the press to get information on them and to get information on the running of every level of government in this state. Mr. President, I kind of wish that the sponsor had brought two amendments to try and get rid of both, to get rid of half of the amendment in each of his, because you're talking about two different topics. The first one here is on page 2, line 13, where if a private citizen wants to communicate with somebody in government, and remember we're talking about 400 different institutions in this state, the vast majority of which are being run by on a voluntary basis. What the amendment that this body passed yesterday said, for that to be a public record, they have to get in touch with at least a quorum, at least a majority of that ruling body. Now, in that case, there should be no expectation of privacy on their part because they get in touch with the entire body. But if they just talk to one person, in my mind, I don't think our constituents have an expectation of privacy. They're talking to just one person about one thing, and I don't know why that should necessarily be in the public record. The other part of the amendment or that the sponsor's trying to remove has to do with the deliberative communications and how members of the state, again, not us because we exempt ourselves from this bill, deliberate and reach out for opinions themselves. In my opinion, I think that should not necessarily be part of the public record because I think it can be subject to distortion and intimidation. And that concerns me greatly. That's why this thing, I think, can be bundled and have little sticks from the bundle come forward slowly. That's why I was suggesting baby steps as a metaphor for what we were doing. Mr. President, I really do think that this is a policy decision on the part of this body, and I think this is something we should deliberate on. One other note, on the part about whether the quorum and majority thereof, it was pointed out to me that in some cases, for instance, a state agency, there is no such thing as a majority or quorum. I'm bringing a corrective amendment to that on amendment number 6, so we will deal with that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Yes, other deliberations before we go back to the sponsor of the amendment. I'm going to call on the majority leader first, and then I'll go to you, Senator Landon. Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, rising on in support of the amendment. Folks, this has been a carefully crafted compromise by all parties involved. The Judiciary Committee worked hard throughout the interim to form what I think is a good bill, and now we've all of a sudden changed everything in midstream. I think it's important that we recognize their work and go back to the original form of the bill. Without that, Mr. President, I would be a no on the bill.
Senator Landon, would you like to make your comments, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment. Fellow senators, I'm going to hearken back to a few years ago when I was a member of the press as a professional journalist and remind that now I've had the opportunity to be on the other side of the fence. So I think I do bring a little bit of perspective. While I respect some of the points that the good senator from the North has made, I have to agree with the majority floor leader. This was a carefully crafted bill that there was a lot of time spent on. Let me see if I can get to the meat of the matter right here. So many times as a journalist, you can go to a meeting and you know darn well when something has been greased. And you're there to report on it, and there's a 5-0 vote, and there's no conversation whatsoever. It's really quickly moved. It's quickly seconded, 5-0 vote, and that's it. And you know darn well what took place. Well, what the amendment yesterday did, ladies and gentlemen, is that it opened a loophole for organizations, if they want to hide from the press, to simply contact each other individually. So if I've got something in front of a commission that I want to get done, all I have to do is contact this member over here, and I contact this member over here separately, and then I move over here on a separate email, and I contact this one, and I've got them all lined up. And all I've got to do is change the information just a little bit, you know what? The vote is greased. I think this is a good amendment. I think it turns this back. You know what, folks? One of the foundations upon what we're built is freedom of the press and freedom of information. These boards and agencies and commissions, they shouldn't be doing anything that we don't want the press to report about anyway. I think this is a good amendment. I think it's worth supporting.
Senator Christensen, go ahead.
Mr. President, addressing some of the concerns raised by the good senator from the North a few minutes ago, where yesterday's amendment talks about state and inserts or a quorum or majority thereof, there's a tactic out there that is used from time to time around the state, and it says if I email... We'll use a board. If I email the whole board, that's public communication. But if I individually email all those board members, that's not public. That's not public. And that's been used. And that's a get-around. That's a way to keep that outside. And the intent that I'm aware of has been pretty clear. And so I'd suggest that that first part is a loophole. It is a way to address, you know, it is a loophole, and it keeps that method open of segregating and hiding communication. The second part of that, as I said yesterday, and just to study it again, we want the public involved in our public process. And to not show them what the information is, not share with them quite often the results of their dollars that are being spent on studies and on information until the final decision, it's not a fair and open playing field. I'd support this amendment.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, just to address a couple things. Obviously, this bill was worked very hard on the interim by the Judiciary Committee, and Senator Burns is on that committee. The good senator from Sheridan is on that committee. The good senator from Teton County is on that committee. Good senator from the Mother County is on that committee. I'm on that committee, and the good senator from Cheyenne's on the committee. We're all there, as were our co-parts from the House, and we worked. And this amendment and what we're talking about there came down to the very last day of our committee meeting, of our last committee meeting. And in the second to last day when we worked this bill, we came down and we actually had this amendment that we'll call the Burns Amendment. The Burns Amendment was a part of that bill.
Perhaps we ought to restrain ourselves from using personally.
I don't know how to refer to the amendment other than it was.
I understand.
The amendment. But thank you for that admonition.
Anyway,
the language that the good senator from Sheridan County, that we put in yesterday, that was in the bill as it passed the final work of the committee on the second to last day. And we thought about that overnight, and when it came back the next morning, I asked, as one of the co-chairmen, that we reconsider that because I wanted the bill to go forward with the compromise initiated. It was my recommendation we go forward with the compromise that was made and reached by the parties, by the working group that had worked on that, with members that we've talked about and that you already know about. So that it could come to this floor and come to the Senate or come to the House, wherever it started, and that we could have this very debate and we could make this determination. And so that we can have this debate. So this is you're exactly where the Judiciary Committee was, right down to the wire. And you have to decide. And it's really too bad. And, you know, as we stand here, we have a tendency to talk about extremes. When we talk about this, it comes down to this. You know, no one wants our public leaders to beat around the bush and go through the back doors and subvert the system and hide their intentions and hide their communications. No one wants that. No one expects that. And we demand and deserve better from ourselves. We should demand better from ourselves. We're accepted from that individually, but we should demand better from ourselves. We should want and desire better and demand better from our other public servants. The other side of that is all of us have been on the side, and even I as a county commissioner, are on those signs when you have very personal and private emails that come to you from your constituents. They may disclose a family tragedy. It may be talking about a divorce. It may be about an abuse situation. Maybe about being the victims of a crime. And they may share with you very personal details that they're sending to their board member, to their, I can't say legislator because we're not covered by this bill, but to their elected representative as illustrative of some element of the law or an ordinance or something that they're with. And I don't think that there's a full expectation that becomes a matter of public record just because it's received by an individual member of that board. But therein lies the tension that we're talking about here. And so when we talk about this, that's what this boils down to. You decide whether you want to say, you know, that's tough, that private information, you should know better when that comes in, and so that's a matter of public record. Because when we weigh that on balance, it's more important that our public officials maintain those records. Or do we want to maintain and represent that because I think that ultimately if this amendment passes, if the amendment that was under consideration would withdraw the amendment from yesterday comes in, I think there's potential that it will have a chilling effect on constituents' ability to communicate with their elected representatives. So you have to balance that, and you have to decide where you want to come down on that, and that's what this decision's about. From my perspective, and I believe the discussions that we have during our committee meetings.
Senator Case.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. You know, Mr. President, this is my 20th year in this here man's army. And I think about the correspondence that I've had over the years and the cups of coffee I've had where people have given me their personnel records or they've showed me school records. They've showed me photographs of their child. They have photographs of their child that had been one time attacked by dogs, Mr. President. I've had situations where people came to me and their supervisor who worked for the state had done something to them. Some were very personal things, extremely personal things. And the communication, sometimes in the old days it was by a letter. You still get a letter like that once in a while, Mr. President. Lots of times I'm sitting in a cup of coffee and we get together and they have this envelope and they shove over. And in fact, I got one of those envelopes here that talks about somebody's personnel situation. You know, every person that talks to me in that situation expects that I'm going to be treating that confidentially. And I have assured people in the past that, don't worry, I kind of look at this as a professional job and you can talk to me just like you would talk to your doctor or your lawyer. And I put it, that's my personal standard for these communications with these people. And I always ask him for permission. Can I share this with people? Can I share this with members of my committee? What if I black out your name? Or, you know, however that happens, Mr. President. And I've really treated that, and that's been an integral part of the relationship I've developed with my constituents. Mr. President, I realize the legislature is exempt from this, but that kind of brings up the whole point. If we exempt ourselves, how do we apply this different standard to these other public servants? And I don't know what they deal with, but I'm guessing to some degree they deal with some of the same things that I do. That's what has just bugged me about this bill all along. And I don't see why everybody has to rip into every email that I get and every personal piece of paper that's shoved across the table when I'm having a cup of coffee with somebody. I don't get that. And why would I expect that to happen to a county commissioner or a local hospital board member? Or I don't get it. I just don't get it.
On the amendment. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. All of you out there have a system that you may have in your head or on a piece of paper on how to make a decision. And here we're faced with a lot of hard decisions. And so here we have the ability that, I may get up and put an idea out and my good colleague in the back there from Johnson County disagrees with me and he gets up and puts his point out there and we were able to hammer it out and come to some kind of a compromise or agreement or not and move on.
What you're asking for by removing this amendment is, in your early stages of making a decision of how you want to go forward with something that you've been given by a constituent or a colleague, and you start to put an idea together, you're asking for another person to be in that decision-making process. And that's a person sitting over here that not only will help you make that decision, but if he doesn't like your decision and the process you're using to develop that decision, he can go out and write something in the newspaper or do a television expose or something and intimidate you to go to what they think your decision should be. If you don't think that's true, read the paper. I won't be pulled over to that side. I won't be intimidated by somebody out there because they want me to think like they are without putting the facts on the table. We should all be that way. We made that decision here, and some of you weren't here when we went through that decision with Senate File 5, but it went through both houses. It was vetoed, and the veto was overridden. And what we did at that point is we looked at some cases where attorneys that were in lawsuits with the state were asking our staff, what did the good senator think when he told you to write this bill up? I don't even know what I'm thinking half the time, let alone know what the staff thinks I'm thinking. And so we protected the staff, and we put a wall around ourselves and said, when we sit down and we go to a decision-making process, and we've all had that bill that we started out on, and staff came to us and said, well, that's really not constitutional, or we went to somebody else and said, what do you think? And your counsel with your compadres here said, you really don't want to put that up. He said, okay, you're right. And you pull back and you don't make that decision. But that's your thoughts and your process. If we delete this amendment and go back to the way it was, and you heard the chairman, this was part of the bill as they went. So all of the work that was referenced to earlier, this was part of that work that came up and had this in there. So if we take this out, you're adding that other person. And I've been told several times, and I probably should pay better attention to it, but you're adding that person that buys paper by the roll and ink by the barrel into your decision-making process, and you're putting them over here to help you, guide you, and intimidate you if they feel necessary into the decision you would make. I say we defeat this amendment, we leave it like it is, and we give all those volunteer elected officials out there the same protection that we afford ourselves.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, for my second time on this, a few things. First of all due respect to the majority floor leader, this is not being thrust upon us last minute. This very issue and this very topic and even this very language has been involved in this issue, in this bill, from the very start. And I've frankly had this position all along. So this is nothing that's being sprung upon us suddenly. I just wanted to add one perspective, or two perspectives. One is part of the bill, part of the amendment that's being proposed to be stripped out, and if I could just read it, records of predecisional and deliberative communications of the agency officials or employees which are integral parts of the decision-making process, including suggestions, advisory opinions, recommendations, projections, proposals, and deliberations. If you vote aye on the amendment on the floor right now, all that becomes public record. All of it. Maybe some of it should be. I don't know. The reason I put all that in there, or left it in there, actually, this is not my original language, was maybe some of this should be. But this is all a bundle. And I think this bill this year is not going to be the last word in this. And I think this is something that we should be deliberating over the next couple of years and let it mellow, let our view of it mature, as it does with many issues. That's why I suggest that we vote no on this particular amendment right now. so that we can look at this, and our committee actually could even look at this again in the interim to suss this out just a little bit more. But what scares me is you're taking a swather to where there should be a.
Senator Christian, I believe this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Senator Christian, I believe this is your second time.
Yes, Mr. President. The nature of this business, it is intimidating. It does require people to question what they do. However, I have great faith in the leaders around our state. They have the courage. They have the commitment to stand up and express their opinions and talk about those tough issues in public. Let's give them the credit that I believe they deserve and they've earned. This is a tough spot to be in leadership positions and openly discuss these community and state and national issues. And that's okay. That's the way we've set this up. Please pass this.
Any other commentary before the sponsor takes his final? Seeing none, Senator Dockstader, I believe that.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate the good discussion here. You can see why this was the one I wanted to concentrate on, this amendment, rather than the previous one. Compliment all of you for the insight, the time you took, the in-depth discussion. I do have some concerns, though, members of the Senate, that this is being perceived as just a press bill. It is not. It is not just a media bill. It's to help the people better understand our governmental decision-making process. And I agree with my good colleague, Sheridan. It is a policymaker. It's about policy. It's a policy decision. And it's about public access to our governmental process. I would ask for your vote in favor of this amendment. And, Mr. President, the ayes and nays, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last statement.
Mr. President, the ayes and nays on this, please.
That's what I thought I heard. Regarding second reading amendment number 5, Senate file 25, and we'll ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Meyer? Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 5, Senate file 25, has failed. Brings us now to second reading amendment number 6, Senate file 25. That is the Burns Amendment, and I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate file number 25, second reading amendment number 6, page 2, line 13.
Senator Burns, go ahead and move the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 6 to Senate file 25 and ask that you dispense with the rest of the reading. Mr. President, this is actually more of a corrective amendment than anything. It was pointed out that not all agencies necessarily have quorums, so all this does is correct it and basically says that those agencies and institutions that have a governing with a governing body shall have been created, accepted, obtained by a quorum or majority of the governing body. That basically brings it down. It's more of a definition than anything.
Comments? Questions?
Second reading, amendment number 6, Senate File 25. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. I believe that's the final amendment. That brings us back on the bill. Is there any commentary on questions regarding the bill? Seeing none. Senate File 25 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Members of the Senate, I'm going to extend a little privilege to myself at this time. If I followed things correctly during that very eloquent debate, I think that there's a group of Douglas Middle School youngsters in the balcony above me, and I believe that their teacher is Kathy Edwards. So with that, I would hope that we could give them a warm welcome on a cold morning. So please stand and let's welcome them. Students always used to ask my science students if they had a third eye, where would that eye be? And many students would say, I'd have that in the back of my head. But I always felt if I had an eye on the end of my finger, I could see much better. So not having that, I'd just say welcome. My index finger. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Senator Johnson.
May I once again have privilege of the floor?
You may. Go ahead.
Okay. I, too, have a group of our youth up in the balcony that you and I can't see them, and I hope they're standing up. But I've said many times on the floor of the Senate that I think the finest organization for our youth in the United States is the FFA. And we have that group from Burns just to the east of Cheyenne. And their sponsor is Mr. Craig Spatz. So I hope they're still up there, and I hope they're still standing. So please welcome them.
Moving on, Senate File 30, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 30, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
There appears to be no amendments. Senate File 30, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 32, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 32, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
There is an amendment, and that is the Perkins Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 32, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 4.
Go ahead and move the amendment, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 32 and request that we dispense with further reading thereof. Mr. President, and ask for body's favorable consideration. What I did in here is I was just concerned as we talk about the medical commission. One of the things we're doing is we're trying to get the medical commission a number of healthcare advisors, physicians, could be physicians or chiropractors or others, to deal with specific and more technical medical issues that come up before the Workers' Compensation Division and try and decide whether they award claims, whether they arise out of an accident, and which things are related. And it's a pretty complicated and sophisticated process, and it's a great program we have. We have this medical commission that we find people to serve on it, and it's, like I say, it's made up of other professionals. What we've done in this, and I certainly agree with this amendment, or excuse me, with this bill, that this idea that we'd bring, and if they find a substandard care that is provided by a provider or a hospital or other institution, that they ought to bring that to people's attention so it can be dealt with. The one thing I was concerned about, though, is that once again, similar to what was just done in the public records bill, is we're making that a crime if they make a false claim. And certainly they ought not to be making false claims. If they had a retribution or they wanted some kind of revenge or there was some kind of professional enmity going on between them and someone else, they ought not to make false claims. And so when they do that, my belief is that pulls them outside of their scope of employment. They will lose their immunity and they'll be subject to civil claims for defamation or other issues like that. So there is, so by pulling it out, there still is an incentive or a disincentive for them to make those types of false claims. But once again, I really struggle when we take and we want volunteers and then we make it, we may subject them to liability. And so when we do these things, that's my concern about that. I'm concerned that it may create a chilling effect to go to a physician or someone and say, why don't you come and do this great public service and be on this board and help work through these tough workers' compensation issues. Oh, and by the way, you have immunity, but if you don't report, if you make a false report, or you say something that you might be false later on, that now you're going to be subjected to potentially criminal liability. And so, I what happens in those things is they say something, they believe is substandard care, they bring that someone's attention, somebody else says that's not substandard care, and now we have a battle about whether it was substandard care or wasn't substandard care. And if there's enough people who say it wasn't substandard care, next thing you know it's false, and next thing you know this person's facing potentially criminal liability. Mr. President, my life experience shows me that no good deed goes unpunished, and I'm afraid that sometimes we get carried away with that, and that's my concern and why I brought this bill and would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Further commentary, questions? Go ahead, Senator Scott, on the amendment, I believe.
Yep. Mr. President, on the amendment. Mr. President, and I will confess I missed one of the key meetings here for personal reasons that you all know about. But the point in the language that's in the bill is that we are removing and giving them civil immunity for their actions here. So it was felt that you need to have some sanction if somebody used their official position on the medical commission to further some kind of a personal vendetta or a professional feud, and they did it by knowingly making a false accusation against somebody. Frankly, I'm not too concerned. I think the real remedy would be that they would be removed from the medical commission so they couldn't do it again if they did something like that. Because there's nothing in here that keeps a member from being removed by our normal procedures for removing a member. But I am concerned by the statement that, well, there'll be some kind of civil liability. No, this bill removes that. And unless the courts are going to ignore our laws, which I suppose they're capable of, that option is removed. So the question is, should there be some kind of civil penalty for that behavior, or are we basically going to trust that we've got good people, and if we get somebody that oversteps the bounds, we'll remove him in the normal processes for removing somebody like that from office? So I think I don't think this is a great moment in the bill one way or t'other, but I do get very disturbed about the suggestion there would be a civil liability because this bill removes that, and I hope the courts don't hold themselves above the law in that respect.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, with regard to the amendment, and I urge you to resist it also, and the critical words are over on page 5, line 7, knowingly and intentionally. That's why it's structured the way it is, and I agree with my colleague from Natrona County. I urge you to resist this amendment.
Other comments in regard to the amendment Senator Meyer's back there.
Mr. President.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I agree with my colleague from Natrona County, who's immediately in front of me, that I think that there's a chance here that he's on to something, and I think we should listen to him very closely on his last appeal here to us, because the law of unintended consequences is something that we're all aware of, and I think he may have just ran into that law.
Other commentary? Go ahead, Senator Perkins, final opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not to be about that. What this bill does on the previous page to this language is it pulls them and classifies them as an employee of the language and provides for them immunity. That immunity applies in the legal world as long as you're acting the scope of your employment. If you willfully and knowingly make a false claim, you have put yourself outside the scope of your employment because you are not acting as a member and as an employee of the medical commission because you are making a false statement. And that puts you, no one on your, and it's not part of any duty that you'll have on the medical commission to make false statements against other providers or against other institutions. Anybody who has immunity under the law as long as they're acting in the scope of their employment. Once you start making false statements willfully and knowingly that are outside, will take you outside of the employment, that will remove your immunity. Whether you're in this or whether you're any other employment in a state agency that has immunity, if you act in a manner that's reckless and that's in complete disregard of what your duties are, you can be brought outside of that and you can lose that immunity. And that's my thought process, is there ought to be some penalties. I think that there are. I did visit about this with some of our Senate staff to see if they concurred with my thoughts. They did. But this is of no moment. It's a great bill. We need to pass this bill. Let's not get hung up on this. And, you know, this was the one thing that disturbed me about this bill. And vote this up or vote it down. We need to move this bill forward. Thank you.
Regarding the amendment, second reading amendment number one, Senate file 32, all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill. Senate file 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Senator, it's been brought to my attention that I may not have made the correct statement in regard to the final action, second reading action on Senate file 25. So for the record, Senate file 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Back into the normal order, Senate file 33, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 33, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee.
Senate file 33, there are no amendments. Senate file 33, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate file 35, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 35, higher education reserve accounts.
No amendments. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Senate file 35. Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate file 35 has passed the second reading. Senate file 39, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 39, adjustment of child support for an adult child.
No amendments. Senate file 39, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 40, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 40, judicial salaries.
And I believe there is an amendment, and I think the First Amendment is the Nicholas Amendment. I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate file 40, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 11.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas, move the amendment if you would.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 40. Folks, I discussed this with you yesterday, and the issue here is, should we consider delaying the implementation of the judicial salaries by 1 year given the circumstances in the budget? What this does is delay the implementation of the same salaries for 1 year until 2013, and it also reduces the appropriation by half because it's only one half of the fiscal year. So I present this for debate for folks to consider in light of the circumstances of the budget.
Any questions, comments? Senator Scott, go ahead.
Two items. First, an inquiry of the President, is this a reduction in and money such as require a roll call vote pursuant to the rules of the Senate. I believe it is, but I want to know how you're going to feel about that. Second, my question is, okay, we've delayed it a year. With this amendment, does the increase automatically go into effect in the second year of the biennium? Or if we are, God forbid, even in worse circumstances next year with lesser amounts of money, I have to set some further priorities in the budget, what do we have to do to eliminate this provision? Do we have to bring another full bill through? What do we have to do? Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, along those same lines, as I recall, when we raised the salary specifically for the judges, it can't take effect until we get a new judge on board. And I'm trying to figure out, does this change that? In other words, will the pay raise go into effect July 1st, or do we have to wait to get for a new judge to come on board after July 1st, and then it kicks in? I'm just not sure what this does.
Other questions before the sponsor of the amendment? Doesn't seem to be any others. Senator Nicholas, do you want to answer the questions that were posed?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the way this would work is that the statute provides that the salaries would be implemented effective as of July 1, 2013. The Constitution, as I understand it, still requires that a new judge would come in after that day, so it's not going to happen immediately unless there's a judge that's retiring and just times it so that he gets his replacement is appointed the day after. Given, frankly, the number of judges we now have between the circuit court, district courts, and Supreme Court, the likelihood of retirement and a new judge coming on within a month or so after the 2013 is quite likely. So as we look at, it's just part of with the expansion of the number of judges we have, one judge in any of the three courts, circuit court, district courts, or Supreme Court, will trigger the effectiveness of the salary. And with all those positions, frankly, there's folks kind of plan their retirements. They know what's going on. If somebody's going to retire that year, they plan their retirement such a way that they take one for the team, if you will, and make sure that their colleagues get their salaries. And, I think it is generally the case that once you put in a statute, you can't take it back. I mean, that's part of the judiciary. You can't lower or raise, or in this case, you can't lower the salary of the judges during their term of office, is my general belief. Folks, I think my personal belief remains that the judges are entitled to it now, but I think you're entitled to have the opportunity to say what are the options, and here it is.
I do believe a roll call vote's in order in this particular amendment, so I'd ask the clerk to call the roll in regard to second reading amendment number 1, Senate File 40. Chief clerk, call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert. Hicks,
no.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson,
no.
Closing vote. Christensen, aye to no. Martin, aye to no. Amrick, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 40 has failed. I'm sorry. Number 1, yeah. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 40 has failed. We are now on second amendment, and that then is the Hicks-Landon amendment, and I would ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate File 40, second reading amendment number 2, delete the first standing committee amendment.
Go ahead, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I would move that the Committee of the Whole rise and support, adopt Senate File 40, second reading amendment 2. Members of the Senate, if we go back to the original bill, basically what you see is a situation that if we pass that as is, you're going to give a 7%, a 20%, and a 25% salary increase in 1 year, respectively, to the three different divisions of the judiciary. What this bill basically does is start to level the playing field, and it says, look, we didn't get here. We didn't get 25% behind the market share in 1 year. Should we go back and do 25% in 1 year? This would allow us to progressively move those judiciary salaries up. We all value the hard work of the judiciary within the state of Wyoming. They're a value asset to the state of Wyoming. What this bill does is recognize the yeoman work that's done at the lower court level. I would tell you that the hard lifting based on the workloads is at the district and the circuit court level. We heard a lot of discussion yesterday about the effect of the Hayes study and looking at the 90% equity and where Wyoming judiciary sits within that. And I would caution everybody that look at the data that you actually use to calculate those studies. Now, just because our neighbors who are financially broke and running a deficit budget choose to continue to spend like that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the policy and that those are the salaries that are right for Wyoming. There's a reason that we're listed as the number one best-run state in the United States. It's because we don't run deficit budgets. Other discussions were talked about a comparison to the private sector, that the current judicial salaries aren't commensurate with the private sector. But let me remind you again, there's other significant benefits to being in the public employer sector. The private sector has to have payroll taxes, utilities, rent, personnel, all these other constraints that they have to bear. The other thing that they have to bear is they have to make enough money during their time in the private sector to be able to pay for their own retirement program. We heard yesterday the judiciary receives 11% contribution to their retirement program by the state of Wyoming. So when you go with this current bill and you pass this, not only are you given a 25% increase to their current salary, you're given a 25% increase to their retirement program too. That starts to add up. Comparisons. When we start to make these comparisons, I think we also have to understand when we compare them with what the existing state salaries are with the other employees, that's part of the rationale for getting this up there. Keep in mind that when those other state employees' salaries were raised, we were in a different economic reality. We were running surplus budgets at that time. We had money, and we were trying to bring those up to market share. So to compare an economic situation when we raise those other salaries for those state employees to the economic situation that we face today, we have to compare apples to apples instead of apples to oranges. What we're saying now is we're going to bump these up to 90% and make them equal with the rest of the state employee salaries, and the simple fact is we've all seen their budget projections, and they're not good. We value the judiciary. And nothing in this amendment would preclude us to come back next year or the year after or the year after to address these salaries increases. With that, Mr. President, I'd stand for questions.
Go ahead, Senator Landon, and then we'll go to Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate many of the good words that the senator to my left just shared with all of you. There are really two reasons that I signed on to this amendment, fellow senators. And one of the reasons is that I want to support this salary increase. I think that it's overdue. I think we need to do something. That's why I voted against the previous amendment. So I want to be able to do what I can with my vote, you know, to help our judiciary to get those salaries up. What gave me heartburn yesterday, however, was this whole idea of a 20 and 25% increase at a time when, you know, I visited not long ago our Department of Family Services office locally up there in Casper, and I thought a couple of days after that I kept thinking about those front counter people, you know, and how hammered they get with difficult issues and difficult questions and difficult treatments every day. Those are the people that we can't help right now. We can't take anything back to them. And for me to try to take a vote back to where we gave a 25% increase to someone, that's pretty difficult to do. So two things. I'd like to support something. I think a 10% increase heads us down the road toward maybe getting those readjusted to where they need to be. I think it's reasonable. I urge your passage of this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Johnson. Thank you, Senator Landon.
Mr. President, and I would ask you to vote no on this amendment. Many years ago, I ran a state agency, and I can remember having professional vacancies that required master's degrees from accredited universities. And I can remember the salary that I could offer for those just out of school was lower than salary for school teachers in surrounding school districts, and sometimes it'd be a year or two before I'd even get any applications, and then the applications weren't that good, which goes into you get what you pay for. And looking at other salaries and what you're really good practicing attorney makes in this state that we want to go onto the bench, I have no problem with this at all. I was told one time that all really good, successful attorneys either want to go on the bench, teach in a law school, or go into elective politics. And they're approaching, what, their 50s, their mid-50s, their 60s, and they're not going to be on the bench that long. They hit what they call legal senility at 7. In other words, they're 70. They're gone. They're out of there. So they don't have that much time to set up the retirement system. And they're able to use all of their years of appearing in front of the judges to sit on the bench and be excellent judges. And finally, I have been in the court system here. I know many of you are aware of my epic in the civil court here, and I personally know that we need the best judges possible because through my experience, something happened because our judge was excellent, and I want to keep that up. So I would ask that you deny this amendment. Let's go forward with the bill as it is and do what's right.
Further commentary. Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment, you know, folks, let's just take the Supreme Court salary. This body here set the salary for our chief litigation counsel for in the AG's office for school finance, and it's in the 170 to 80. So when we go out and we know people and we want to treat them, we want to retain them, look what we're prepared to pay. So pay the litigation counsel, even under these circumstances, he'll still be paid $15,000 to $20,000 more than the people that are actually being called upon to render the decisions. The 165, the 150, and the 102 were established not because we were trying to reward them for past services. It was essentially going back and looking at what their executive counterparts are being paid. Their executive counterparts have received 25 and 30%. Now, the judiciary's budget is a fraction of our budget, is like 5% of our entire state budget. a nominal amount. They have the fewest number of employees of any agency throughout the state. And what I can assure you is the likelihood is that the next time that another statute will come in addressing these salaries is likely to be 4 to 5 years. Look at the trend. Every 4 to 5 years, we take a look at this by the statute. Every 4 to 5 years, it's just as painful as it is this year. It never gets better. We've moved these in times when we've had surpluses, and it was never easier then. If you fail to move them to their market as determined by their executive counterparts today, then they'll be behind, and they'll be behind for the next 4 years, and they'll just further cascade behind. When we give attention to the salaries, it's incumbent and fair that we bring them up to their executive counterparts. We're not trying to give them replace their private salaries. Their executive counterparts also get 11%, 12% retirement paid on their behalf, and they also receive insurance benefits. It's parity, it's equality. And we look to these folks for... at this point, is like I say, every 4 to 5 years we look at it. When we hit it, let's hit the mark. Let's not fall behind. I'd urge you to vote no.
Sponsor, do you want a final comment? I believe that this amendment would merit a roll call vote as well. So I'll ask Chief Clerk to call the roll. Second reading amendment number 2, Senate File 40. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
No.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
That amendment has failed. No more amendments on that particular bill. Senate file. Is there any discussion on the bill? Go ahead, Senator.
Yeah, it was 1317.
Wait till I finish with the disposition of this bill. Senate file 40. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Having been introduced to the term of legal senility, maybe we ought to move right along. For my benefit, I might add. Go ahead, Senator.
President. Mr. President, members of the Senate, we have students and staff of the Wyoming TRIO and GURA programs over here in front of me. Please stand up. These TRIO and GURA programs are here today to bring awareness to these students that are participating. To bring awareness of educational access issues, TRIO and GEAR UP are federally funded projects that provide assistance and support to first-generation college students, students with limited income, students traditionally underrepresented in higher education, and students with disabilities to aspire to, gain admissions to, and succeed in higher education. Each year, the 12 Wyoming TRIO programs and statewide GEAR UP programs serve over 6,000 students. College and high school students are here today representing TRIO and GEAR UP programs from Casper, Cheyenne, Laramie, and Sheridan. The students thank you for your support of their educational goals and for being cognizant of these programs in your local area. Would you join me in welcoming the TRIO and GEAR UP students?
Senate File 45, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 45, Alcoholic Beverages Manufacturers.
There is an amendment, and I believe it's the Burns Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 45, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 4.
Senator, go ahead. Move the amendment.
And so I figured I must have miscommunicated what I was trying to state. And Mr. President, if I could use a comparison, it's like you've got a cup manufacturer. You've got two cup manufacturers, and the state decides, okay, we're going to give a benefit to this one cup manufacturer because what they do is they take the piece of plastic and they push it down to make the cup. Whereas the other cup manufacturer, they make cups by a vacuum method where they suck it up. But at the end, you've got two cups. You're producing two cups. Well, Mr. President, it's the exact same thing with this amendment. If you've got a distiller and you've got a rectifier, what you've got at the end is a distilled manufactured product that's trying to be sold. And so all I'm trying to do here is allow that anybody who is producing the same product gets the same benefit from the state. Mr. President, what this amendment does, all it does is add the term rectifier. And what a rectifier basically is a different method for manufacturing a manufactured distilled product. So, Mr. President, with that, I would ask the body to vote aye.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, I'd ask you to vote no. I don't know if this is right or wrong. I'm not an attorney, and I'm not the AG's office, but your 30 bodies here, and you make up your own mind on this, but I don't want the bill to get down to the governor's office and then have someone say, why, this is not germane to the bill, and veto the bill. So you vote your conscience.
Other conversation, questions? Go ahead, second time, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on that point exactly, the title of the bill is Alcoholic Beverages Manufacturers. The formal title is actually the explanation at the bottom. Again, it talks about manufactured distilled spirits, the exact same thing.
Any other questions, comments? On the amendment, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill.
I have a whole bunch of negatives to return.
Senate File 45 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's sorted. Mr. Vice President, would you take the chair for these last three bills, and then I'll come back.
Senate File 47, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 47, Omnibus Water Bill Construction.
There are no amendments. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I would like to answer some of the questions yesterday about one of the amendments to this bill, if that'd be appropriate.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. There were questions about the number of wells involved and the significance of that and what kind of problems they may have with them. And I would like to share with the Senate that there are 49 domestic wells that have been investigated. Of those, 90% are high in sulfates. And the information we have that they're naturally occurring, and the TDS, total dissolved sulfates high, 38 of them. They're naturally occurring. Of that, if you in fact had a public water supply, 18 of those would have to be shut in, would not be able to be utilized for consumption. There are also 8 additional wells, Mr. Vice President, that include arsenic, 1, fluorides, 1, nitrates, 2, uranium, 4. Again, all naturally occurring, but they do not meet the safe drinking water standards. The other thing I would like to bring up, Mr. Vice President, is on the Vox volatile organic compounds. And all of the wells include some traces of those. However, they're all below the safe water drinking standards. Thank you.
Any further discussion? If not, Senate File 47, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 52, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 52, Dyslexia Screening and Response.
There are no amendments. Senate File 52, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 85, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 85, General Permits.
Any discussion? If not, Senate File...
Mr. Vice President.
Pardon me? Senator Beacock, why is it still on?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Some questions came up yesterday relative to this particular bill, and I'd like to answer those. The majority floor leader asked about air quality, if that, in fact, would be included. And I talked to the head of the department this morning, and we do have a situation in Wyoming presently where they do what's called a relocate individual permits for air quality. It would be like on a batch plant. So if I have an air quality permit for a batch plant, I move it from one construction site to another. I relocate that. They're able to do that. So that, in fact, does occur. That's the only one that where we have air quality permits right now. The EPA allows general permitting for both air quality and water quality. The director of the department said that in the future there would be consideration given to utilizing air quality permits under the general permitting process, but it would require rulemaking authority to do that. The other thing, Mr. Vice President, I'd like to be sure and clarify to the body that there were about 7,000 permits that have been issued under general permits in different areas including the Wyoming PDS program through the DEQ, the wastewater program, which is sewer lines and water, and then the UIC underground injection program. The department thought that if, in fact, the Supreme Court upheld this decision and we were not successful in passing this legislation, they did not feel like they would necessarily have to go back and redo all those 7 permits. But, of course, if they were legally required, it could happen. So I want to be sure the body understands that. And the last thing, Mr. Vice President, is that there was some concern, and I mentioned yesterday about in your feedlots, if in fact that would be considered stormwater situation, a stormwater drainage. The answer is no, that's under a different part of the statutes with the EPA. And the last thing, Mr. Vice President, we're trying to figure out an ag exemption.
Any further discussion? If not, Senate File 85, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read for the 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Bill's on 3rd reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list? Go ahead, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. 3rd reading consent list for today is as follows. Senate File 6, County Memorial Hospital District, staggered terms. Senate File 7, Election Districts, revisions. Senate File 62, Electrical Installation, Licensing Exceptions, and Senate File 74, Severance Tax, Trone Evaluation.
Mr. Majority Leader, would you read that list again? I think that the list I have in regard to Senate File 7.
Did I say that wrong?
I'm not sure.
I'll read the list again. Senate File 6, County Memorial Hospital District, staggered terms. Senate File 7, Election Districts Revisions. Senate File 62, Electrical Installation, Licensing Exceptions. And Senate File 74, Sevens Tax Trona Valuation.
Thank you. Senator Schiffer?
Mr. President, I'd ask that Senate File 74, Sevens Tax Trona Valuation, be pulled off the consent list.
Okay. Are there any other requests? Senate File 74 having been removed the consent list. Consent list now consists of Senate File 6, County Memorial Hospital District Staggered Terms, Senate File 7, Election Districts Revisions, and Senate File 62, Electrical Installation Licensing Exemptions. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 6, Senate File 7, Senate File 62. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel. Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 6. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 6. 30 ayes. Senate File 7. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 7, 30 ayes. Senate File 62, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 62, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 6, Senate File 7, Senate File 62 have passed the Senate. Other bills on third reading. Senate File 67. Third reading of the Senate file.
65, Senate file number 67, sponsored by Senator Perkins, Real Estate Brokers, Sales Agents, Opinions on Value, an act relating to real estate brokers and sales agents, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, and that's the Perkins Amendment. I'd like to ask that, that be read in at this time.
Senate File 67, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Perkins, would you like to move the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 67. Would request that we dispense with further reading of the amendment and ask for the body's favorable consideration on this. As you may have noted, in various emails, communications, and discussions, there's a couple of associations and professions that are kind of at odds over this particular bill. My understanding is that the big issue in this is whether or not we use the word value versus price in this bill. And so what we do with this amendment is we go back in every place but one where the bill says value, we simply say price. To some people, that makes all the difference. I think to the most common man, I don't know that it makes any difference. But to some people, it makes a big difference. The one exception is that it leaves value in the disclaimer so that if the broker price opinion would not is not an appraisal of market value. So other than that, it changes the price. I think that this is the art of compromise. Although, to quote the good senator from Sheridan, I don't understand the thinking on some of these things, but nevertheless, there it is, and I would ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Nicholas, would you like to speak to this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I would, and I'd like to speak against the amendment. You know, I understand trying to find compromises, but folks, I can tell you that in a given year, on behalf of clients, people just like yourselves, we're called upon to get valuations frankly, you're trying to get economical valuations without having to go through the process of hiring an appraiser to pay $3,000 to $4,000 for an appraisal, estate tax returns, lawsuits. You just want to go out and get the you want to get a drive-by value of the property. This is an important service that realtors provide to provide us valuations. And in many instances, if you got it, if the price or the opinion came back, well, I think the price is this, I wouldn't even know what that meant. We know what value is. We need to have these valuations. And my assumption is the bill was put forth because realtors were perplexed whether or not they'd be violating their code of ethics to provide these valuations. Folks, you need them. And you need them at times where you don't want to have to pay for appraisals, and you don't need to have them. If you have a 401k program and you want to find and you want to value your real estate, you don't want to have to get an appraisal. You just go down and get an and you got real estate in your 401k, you go to the your local realtor and say, what's the value? And he gives it to you. No risk of it. The only issue is what you're going to put your value when you a number of times you're going to look at it. It seems to me that by doing this, you're going to preclude a lot of options. You're going to make your lives more difficult. And frankly, people know the difference between an appraisal and a valuation provided by a realtor. It's just not that big of a deal.
Senator Scott, go ahead.
Mr. President, this is a good bill with or without this amendment. It's just a slightly better bill without the amendment. What's going on here is you've got two ways of figuring out what something is worth. And the appraisers are the gold-plated, you know, all the bells and whistles when you really have to get it right and you have to have something that'll stand up. And the real estate agents are perfectly good for all the other purposes. And if the appraisers can get the real estate agents out of the business of telling people what things are worth, there'll be more work for appraisers. So they want to us to take the first small step toward giving them a fence. And this amendment does that. And frankly, I think we'd be better off without it and leaving the bill intact and without going down taking the first step toward a fence that eventually would be expensive for everybody.
Senator Christian, go ahead.
Mr. President, I've been in communication with both realtors and appraisers on this. Folks who it's their profession. And some of the questions that were raised that this amendment fixes were raised by a member of the Real Estate Commission. When the appraisers looked at it, this answered their questions, too. While it may not seem like it's a big deal, we still accomplish and respect what's been common practice and legitimize it. But this is one of those opportunities, while it may not be clear and may not appear that it matters too much either way, both parties that I've been in contact with, and it's a number of different people in the profession, think this is an answer that helps clarify it and enables them to go forward in an appropriate manner. And I'd encourage the support of this amendment.
Other questions, comments? Go ahead, Senator Perkins, final statement.
Thank you. And I brought this bill, and And I'm voted up or voted down. Personally, I'm persuaded by the senior senator from Natrona County, but voted up, voted down, and let's move on.
Okay. Regarding the amendment, third reading amendment number one, Senate file 67, all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We're now back on the bill. Are you ready for the question? Senate file 67 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate file 67, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 67 has passed the Senate. Senate file 74, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 74, sponsored by Senator Hastert, severance tax, Trona valuation, an act relating to severance taxes. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
No amendments. Would Senator Schiff, you'd like to speak to the bill?
Yes, Mr. President. I asked for this bill to be pulled off the consent list. And really what I'm asking the Senate to look closely at this bill. Trona, it's all underground. The valuation formula for Trona is one of the few. It's spelled out right in statute. It's the value at the mine mouth times the industry factor, and that's in statute 32.5, which all Trona companies agree to. And that's why it's set in statute, unlike most of those multipliers, and then divided by the Trona to soda ash factor less something else, I forget. But every Trona producer agreed to this years ago. Every so often we do adjust the industry factor, but everybody agrees to it. What this bill in essence does is says, if you're a producer and you want some wiggle room, or you've got an unemployed tax lawyer, or you just want to take a trip to Cheyenne, you go negotiate privately with the Revenue Department. And we try to get away from that. I understand that it's been compared to oil, or particularly the coal companies. Coal companies have a different problem. Their head wall moves, and that changes the whole value. The mouth of the mine doesn't move, and that's why we use mine mouth plus the industry factor. You're opening up a door that has been closed for many, many years, many years. And there's good reason why it was closed. Once you open that door, there's no shutting it. You're allowing in a process to make taxes not only inequitable, but to tie up numerous staff members for numerous hours of the day as one company. And these are not domestic companies. They grapple with each other worldwide, actually. Probably the biggest, I think, comes from Belgium. They're foreigners. You're opening a door that I urge you to think twice before you open that door.
Further discussion, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. The idea behind this is, you know, that the mine mouth, certainly for dry ore mining, is going to remain the same. And, you know, in... Wyoming, trona, we're pretty blessed with a pretty pure vein of trona. Now, what we have, though, is, and what we're trying to do here, is this: the trona industry has been developing different technologies over the years and different methods of mining, and specifically the in-situ mining or the liquid mining. Now, when you have dry ore mining, which this really doesn't pertain to, and what we're not looking to change is not how we value dry ore mining. It's valued and being able to negotiate and work with the Department of Revenue for different styles of mining, and specifically for the liquid mining developments that we've been that the trona industry has been working on. Trona is water soluble. We have many companies are and working and have successfully worked with the technology of putting water down in a mine, dissolving the trona into crystal, bringing that back up, recovering the crystal, and processing soda ash. When we do the dry ore mining, that in the type of equipment that we use in wet ore mining or the in-situ mining cannot cross to the dry ore. It's a completely different process. It's a completely different upfront cost, and it's, you know, expected over a different period of time to be able to pay for itself. So we're not trying to change the way we value the dry ore. It's simply trying to be able to negotiate. And I think the numbers that we heard in committee were somewhere around, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 90%+ of workable ore that we have in dry ore mining. We have a little bit of insolves. There's some mud shale and whatnot that comes out with the dry ore mining. But with the wet ore, the saturation point is about 17%. So when you talk about the mine mouth, for liquid mining, it is different. It's a different process. It's a different location. It's a different amount of saturation. It's a different amount of, the amount of ore that can be brought through into that process. So this is just gives the ability, you know, when we have over 90%, to 17% that comes out in the liquid form. So, Mr. President, members of the Senate, we're not looking to change the dry ore, and the good senator is absolutely correct in the fact that, you know, this process has been agreed to. It's simply saying that we have different types of processing. Technology is advancing. This is the same language that they do have in oil and gas, and it works with them. And it just says that, and my understanding is that the department had thought, or that there was a thought of that there was the ability to do the negotiations, and this simply puts it into statutes the same as oil and gas, and because there is a difference now. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to this bill? Are you ready for the question? Senate File 74. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Senate File 74. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 74 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.
Announcements? Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet in 15 minutes up in room S-16 to take up Senate File 82, ATM fees, and Senate File 83, Cigarette Manufacturing.
Senator Geis, thank you.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, up on adjournment in S-15, will take up Senate File 65, Applied Agriculture Research Funding Program, Senate File 76, Water Benefit Use, Senate File 49, Terms of Young Board Agriculture Members, Senate File 55, Purchase of Federal Lands, Senate File 64, Criminal Trespass, Senate File 106, Transfer of Lands.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Mr. President, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will meet upon adjournment to consider the following Senate files: 59, Public Employee Retirement Plan Benefit Increases, 87, State Employee Compensation Commission Membership, 18, Reimbursement for Livestock, 97, Wyoming Retirement Act. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we will be considering appropriations for the legislature, Senate File 2, Senate File 66, Medical Assistance Hospice Care, Senate File 78, Interstate Compact of Students and Military Families. We have two additional bills, Senate File 36, State Parks Acquisition of LX Bar Ranch, and Senate File 43, State Parks Acquisitions of Lands, and we'll consider those on adjournment tomorrow, Wednesday, and any other bills that are referred to us will be considered on adjournment on tomorrow, Wednesday.
Thank you. Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 22nd, 15 minutes after the noon recess in room 302 to discuss Senate File 93, Casper Aquifer Land Acquisition, Senate File 102, State Lands Management.
Senator, thank you. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet on Wednesday, February the 22nd at 7:30 a.m. Note the time, 7:30 a.m. in room S1. Which is our last committee day for Senate files to undertake the following bills to finish up our work on Senate File 81, Medicaid Fraud Recovery, and then we'll get to as many of these as we have time to get to. Senate File 70, Child Abuse Reporting Penalties, Senate File 72, Foreclosure and Probate, Senate File 73, Termination of Parental Rights, Senate File 99, Guardian Ad Litem Program. Thank you, Mr. President.
Other announcements? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. Senate shall stand at recess until 1:30 this afternoon. Recess.